Hello, and welcome to Community Conversations. These are pre-recorded interviews brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. on KRFY. Because of ongoing concerns about the COVID pandemic, we are not able to be in the studio doing live broadcast interviews right now. But we are still dedicated to recording and bringing to you topics of local and current interest, highlighting voices from our community. For Community Conversations, we are using phones and web-based technology so that participants can be recorded remotely. Please bear with us if there are any gaps or hiccups that might be caused by a slow or unstable phone or internet connection. Also, keep in mind that because these interviews are recorded, information may change between the time of this recording and the time that you hear it broadcast. Thank you for joining us for today's Community Conversation on KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Now grab a cup of coffee, sit back and enjoy some more of Adventure Number 8 by Jim Chappelle, and then we'll get on with today's show. Good morning, and welcome to The Morning Show. I'm one of your hosts, Phil Huff, and I'm joined again today with my perennial co-host, Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Hello, Phil. We're back together again. It's so nice. Summer's ended and our vacations are coming to an end, so we get to be together a little more often.
I do, but I'm dragging it out. I'm going to go away Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Don't ask me where. I don't want to tell you. Because there may be a hiking destination that has some huckleberries in mind. We're still on the track of the elusive wild huckleberry.
Well, I understand your secrecy around huckleberries. Everyone does.
You're filling our larder for winter.
There you go.
So this morning, we have a great show, a little different. We're taking advantage of the opportunity that this COVID crisis presents us to bring voices from other parts of the state who have a lot to say about how we recreate here. And today we're going to be talking about maps and your inner map geek. And so we're joined today by Pam Bond, who is a volunteer with the Idaho Trails Association and a GIS expert, and has developed some mapping applications that that organization and others are using. And we're also joined by Joshua Campbell, who's the Recreation and Wilderness and Trails Program Manager for the Payette National Forest. Good morning, both. Good morning, Joshua.
Morning.
Good morning, Pam.
Hello, good morning.
We always like to start with just a little bit of background, a little deeper dive into the individuals we have on the show. And Pam, since you're up, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about what you do professionally and what you do here for fun and how they intersect with this mapping world.
Yeah, sure. So professionally, I work for the city of Boise. My official title is Enterprise GIS Analyst Senior, but basically I help take care of their GIS infrastructure and all their other mapping needs. I became involved with trails actually by way of the Pacific Crest Trail. I've been section hiking on there, and I happened to run into in Southern California, they're called Trail Gorillas. They're PCTA volunteers who've been maintaining trails. And I actually got to meld my two worlds. I love hiking and I love mapping. And I started collecting GPS points of downed trees. And anytime I got service, I would send it back to a guy on that crew. And it was really cool because, like, weeks later, we ran into him again and we had this big round of applause. because it was so helpful for them to get that. And after that experience, I literally came back to Idaho seeking opportunities to get involved with taking care of our trails. And I've been with ITA basically ever since.
And how long has that been, Pam? It's been a while.
Yeah, I had my first volunteer trip with ITA in 2015. I came on the advisory board in 2016. And then now I'm a full-fledged executive board member. So I'm in it deep now.
Well, we're primarily here to talk about mapping. I do want to explore just a little bit more about Idaho Trails Association and your role and some of the other unique things that you're doing. And you were the instigator, I'll call it, for the Women's Only Weekends for ITA. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so a couple of projects that I've been really proud to be a part of. One is definitely the Women Only Weekends, the WOW program. I just kind of saw a need. One, I selfishly wanted to see more weekend projects on our schedule because I have a full-time job. It's really hard to commit having taking a week off or something like that to do projects. And then I just found over time, as I would talk to people about ITA, I talked to everybody about ITA, that women would be like, oh, I don't think I could do that. I'm scared to try. And so this really just gave those women a place to come and have a little bit less pressure to just really learn some of the skills and see that they can actually do it. Those weekends are super, super powerful. I mean, those women not only bond together, but also really it empowers them. They see what they can do. It's really awesome.
It's neat. Pam, by the time we air this recording, the WOW weekend that's happening in the Panhandle will have been completed, so we won't discuss that one, but are there any others happening this year besides the one that will be over by the time we play this?
Yeah, we do have another WOW project scheduled for the middle of September, and that will be out of the Atlanta area, which is more like, it's a couple hours from Boise, Idaho. It is technically full right now. We'll be working the Little Queens River. But if there is anyone out there who's interested, please feel free to let us know. We can get you on the wait list because we do have people who will cancel and spots can open up.
Okay, very good. And we'll get contact information a time or two during this interview. We've gone a little bit astray in learning about the backgrounds of both of our guests. So let's get back to you, Joshua Campbell. Tell us a bit about you, your background, how you got interested in trails, and how you came to be doing the work you're doing.
Well, first I'll give you guys a name correction. My last name is Simpson.
Oh, jeez.
Both of you have called me Campbell, which is fine.
So sorry.
Not a problem. I got into trails and wilderness back when I was 18, 19 years old. I was on my first backpacking trip in the Eagle Cap Wilderness in Northeast Oregon with a college friend. And we ran into a wilderness ranger randomly one day. And it kind of crystallized to me then that you could get paid to be a backpacker. And I went back to college the following week and looked at my options and eventually got a degree in recreation resources and started working for the Forest Service right away as a seasonal, and have slowly but surely worked my way into a better, longer term position. And I've been here on the Payette in Central Idaho for the last 5 years, managing one of the largest wildernesses in the 48 states.
And the Payette's not only one of the largest wildernesses, but as a forest in Idaho, at least, it has to be one of the ones that has the greatest diversity of recreation and some of the greatest number of use days. Tell us about that challenge.
Yeah, Central Idaho is definitely complex. You know, we balance a tremendous amount of different recreational uses all year long through the summer, spring, summer mud season into the main use season with motorized trails, non-motorized trails. Going into winter season, it's a four-season forest here, and you know, we've got backcountry aircraft that utilize a lot of backcountry airstrips in the wilderness. We have horse users. We have two-wheel motorized snowmobiles. You name it, it can be done on the Payette and is done by a lot of different people.
I think also, tell me if I'm wrong here, but if I remember right, you have recreational dredging for minerals.
I've heard tell of some of that. I have no direct experience with that. We're on my district, we don't have a lot of that opportunity due to the endangered salmon species, but Some rivers do.
Certainly something that's not maybe unique to Idaho, but not common in most forests.
Definitely.
So let's come to the main point for the interview today is to talk about a particularly unique aspect of recreation and recreation management. When hikers step out their door, they need some resources. And there are printed online guidebooks and trail descriptions, and there's mapping. But I want to hear a little bit about the whole gamut of resources that each of you are familiar with and are able to provide through either the agency or through ITA. And Joshua, since we're talking to you, tell us a little bit about the gamut of resources, and then we'll come back to mapping.
Yeah, you know, most folks are probably familiar with the USGS Quad Map Series. Those are readily available at most sporting goods stores such as REI, or you can occasionally find them at the library as well. I know locally here in McCall that you can get those maps at the local hardware store. So it's just a matter of being canny and knowing where to look. But you nowadays, there's so many available resources online for any kind of information. You know, if you're looking for specific trip type information, people have blogs, they utilize aggregating web pages similar to like Strava that track people's runs. There are websites for hiking and that kind of thing. There are guidebooks for most geographical areas across the country that have local trails and nice hikes, backpacking type stuff. And those are typically where I tend to direct people most of the time. But now that we have this new website, we can be a little more immediate with our forest-specific trail information.
And so we want to come back to the specific website, but we'll leave a little teaser there for folks. Pam, tell us about the array of resources that ITA offers that you use. What do you take when you go out on a trail, and what do you have ITA suggest when other hikers want to know where and how they should go hiking?
Yeah, sure. Well, I agree with everything that he just said. Usually when I'm getting started, I start with Google, especially if I know what it is. Great resources. People love to share information about their experiences. I would say definitely check out the ITA trail reports. We're getting more and more people who are submitting their reports, and that will, if you have a specific trail in mind, you can go out and see if anyone has put up some trail condition information lately. And yeah, guidebooks are so awesome. I think it's a great way for people to get inspired to go out. And I don't know, it's just, it's another one of those things where sometimes it's nice to just have it in your hand, have something to flip through, you know, dog ear some pages that you can come back to and make some plans for the summer. We have really great Idaho authors who put out a lot of guidebooks. The Mons, Dennis Nichols in the North Idaho, Margaret Fuller, Scott Marchant, Steve Stubner, Matt Leidecker, really great books out there. And yeah, with, I don't know if some people know that the USGS store, you can download geo-referenced quad maps, and you can use those through an app like Avenza, or you could save it and take it to a printer and get it printed. I know here locally, you can show up at some place like Boise Blueprint, and they'll actually, they have some of them printed already, or you can have them print a quad map for you. I always suggest that, especially if people are going to be going multi-day trips, unfamiliar territory, going off trail, always have a paper map. There are so many apps out there, and I've tested almost all of them, but that device can fail, and a paper map will not fail you.
Yes, it brings to mind the Garmin outreach tools that people are taking. And as you say, a map can be important if for some reason your Garmin inReach might lose its battery power or something like that, right?
Sure. Yeah.
I do want to say, for those listeners who are local, there are some really good print resources. Our local ranger districts, the Panhandle, the Bonner's Ferry District, the Sandpoint District, Priest Lake, all have small pamphlets of printed material on popular trails in the area. And there are hiking maps available from multiple locations for the Scotchman Peaks area, from the Friends of Scotchman Peaks. And there are some great resources for mountain biking trails available at the mountain biking shops in town.
So oh, true.
lots of really good printed materials. We're going to talk online.
Well, Phil, I was just about to ask you, have we kept our listeners waiting anxiously long enough? I think so. Let's move on to our new apps that both of our guests have been working on developing. Pam, would you like to take it away with what's happening with Idaho Trails Association?
Yeah, so this is something I kind of want to see come to fruition for a while, and really, it's a crowdsourcing tool. It's a tool that allows hikers, backpackers, horsemen and women to let us know what they're seeing on the ground. And it's a simple survey that they fill out and give us information. It's information about, you know, they tell us what trail they're on, what if they saw any down trees. It's really helpful in the spring to know about like snow and mud conditions, rock slides, if there's water available, what the access road is like. And after they've submitted that survey, I usually approve them before they go up onto a public map where anybody can go out and search geographically or by a trail name to get that person's trail report. It doesn't share their name or their email or anything like that. So it's you know, anonymous essentially, but that information can be shared out to anybody.
This is for any trail in the state of Idaho, so local trails here in North Idaho.
Absolutely.
And Pam, how do you see this new application being used in conjunction with other trail mapping references, or can it simply be, can a person simply go to the Idaho Trails Association website and possibly just use that application? Tell us more.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a number of ways you could go here, and one of the things that I have done, and people may have not found this on our public map, but the information that Josh has created is also available through the ITA reports map as a layer. Somebody could go in and turn that on and off and see the trail maintenance on there as well. And so I would love to be able to see, as everybody's programs expand, a lot of people are using an online GIS platform called ArcGIS Online that makes it really easy to integrate other people's information. And so you can be pulling in information from other agencies, other trail organizations, and start giving people a little bit better picture about what's happening on the ground.
So it sounds like a really great tool to collect information that helps ITA make some planning decisions and sharing with the agencies to make some planning decisions. And so it seems really intuitive how it can be used inbound that way. Can the folks who are going out on trails also use it for, I want to check the status of my favorite trail?
Currently, yes and no. I mean, I guess they can check the status in that if somebody has submitted a report, yes, and now if they're hiking on the Payette, they could turn that layer on and they can see what's happening with the trail status there. But beyond that, I don't have any other, you know, trail conditions beyond what I can find.
So it's as useful as people use it. It's as robust as the users create it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So truly a crowdsourced bit of information.
Yep.
Very good. So let's compare, contrast. Joshua, tell us about the mapping abilities, devices, applications that you and the Payette have developed.
Yeah, as Pam mentioned, it's all tied back to ArcGIS Online, which is the most revolutionary thing in mapping that has come to the internet since the dawn of the internet. About 15, 16 years ago, I was working down in central eastern Nevada, and it was trying to figure out a way that I could provide up-to-date trail information to people, but the technology hadn't really matured yet, and there was no such thing as AGOL, ArcGIS Online. I moved up here in 2015, and my district ranger had asked me if there was a way that we could somehow, some way, show how much trail maintenance we get done in a given year on a map that could be available to the public. And thank goodness for AGOL, because at that point, these things have really come a long way, and now this stuff is easily accessible by the public. It's just a matter of building these things out. And so what we were able to do was we created this map that anybody can visit, and I can literally update this map in just about as close to real time as anyone can with the technology we have available today. And the way I do that is during the field season, when my trail crews and my wilderness rangers are out conducting trail maintenance, I know where they are on any given hitch, and I can check in with them on day 3 of their hitch or day 6 of their hitch and get a up-to-date, accurate knowledge on how many miles of which particular trail that they're on. And as I take that radio check-in, I can literally click on the map and update the map as they update me. So it's real time, as close as we can get. And yeah, it's just a fascinating technology to be able to point people to, because more and more we want things on demand, and up-to-date trail information is pretty critical. So
if they're out there for 5 days, let's say, and they're working on a dozen miles of trail going to a summit, each day they can report in, you can update it, and someone who might want to hike that trail can know the first 3 miles are clear, the first 8 miles are clear, and so on. So
exactly.
So this has a real benefit because of the scope of the area you're covering, and we're going to get into how it integrates with others, not just your crews. This has a real ability to inform decisions hikers might make before they're going in the field.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So tell us about how information comes to the map, not just from your crews, but also from partners.
Right. So every year we schedule a number of hours and projects on various trails with our partners, such as like the Central Idaho Trail Riders Association, our local our two-wheel motorized group. They're huge and active on our district, and they commit to doing pretty much all of our two-wheel motorized trails on the district outside of the wilderness. And they schedule those volunteer projects throughout the month of May and early June. And I know that during that time, X trails are getting some level of maintenance. And then when they're done, their leader sends me an email saying, hey, we got this list of trails done to the snow line. And I go in and I just update that right away. And I'm in there. When you click on a trail and it pops up this little information window, you can see who maintained that trail, when they maintained it last. And so you can see that, oh, this motorized group maintained all these trails on this day. And this, you know, and so you have a fairly good idea when that trail was cleared versus when you're looking at that data. So you can make an informed decision on whether or not there's actually going to be a lot of time between your trip or not. And so you can make a good estimation on whether you're going to encounter a lot of down trees or no down trees.
Joshua, you mentioned that the partners can input information about trail work that they've been doing. Can individuals who've been on the trails in the area offer input?
Yeah, with our new map, with the Frank Church Wilderness map, that has been built into it in a way. It's not, they are not, the users are not allowed to necessarily change the maintenance status of a trail, but they can submit comments, provide photos, and they will geographically attach a star to that particular trail or area, and they can provide comments to anybody and everybody. And it's definitely, the trail map 2.0 has definitely gone to the next level there.
Sure. It sounds like a really marvelous tool. And I want to bring Pam into this conversation because the two products are similar but different, and there's so much overlap here. I want to leave a little space for Pam to comment or ask questions.
Yeah, so it would be amazing if this was available for all of the Forest Service trails in the state of Idaho or beyond. Have you been talking to your of the other districts or regions about expanding this?
Yeah, it's kind of funny you bring that up. We've found that one other partnership group, if you will, has done something very similar to this map, and that is the somewhere up in Montana. I can't remember the friends group up there, but they host a similar map to my original Payette Trails map. The Frank Church map we have is a little different than anything else out there, but we are seeing a lot of interest outside of the Payette and outside of my region. There is some interest in developing this a little bit more, which is exciting, that bodes well. I get to possibly interact with a few people I don't know yet, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. But this has a lot of potential, and it's very easily replicated. It just takes a little bit of muscle.
At this point, it sounds like the Payette Forest has this capability, and for Idaho Trails Association, it would be, if I'm correct, Pam, areas where Idaho Trails Association is working with trails, but it's, as we've said, it's not the entire state, so it's just not everywhere yet, is it?
Not everywhere yet, but you know, anybody can submit a trail report on ITA regardless of where we're doing work. You know, if even if they wanted to submit it someplace outside, it would still show up on the map. It just wouldn't be, it just wouldn't apply to us. But and then also the Friends of Saskatchewan Peak Wilderness have also created a trail reporter, just kind of very similar to what the Idaho Trails Association has done. And I have also integrated their reports into the ITA map. That is the power of ArcGIS Online. You can integrate and create your own products using open and public available information.
Yeah, and the Friends focus on the Saskatchewan Peaks, but there can be data input from the immediate surrounding environs. And I think perhaps, Joshua, the organization or Friends group you might have been thinking of, I believe that Montana Wilderness Association is beginning to install a similar application. I know that at least they're looking at it. I don't know if they've deployed it in the field yet.
Yeah, that's correct. I think they actually have a partnership with the Mission Mountains Wilderness stakeholder group up there that they're doing that with.
It is definitely the way of the future, and it's been built on stuff that's happened in the past. I want to circle back for the people who are listening who go, what's all this about? I just take my compass and my old quad map I bought 50 years ago, and it hasn't been updated since anyway, and there's got coffee spills and mosquito blood on it, and I take my pencil and mark on it. So what the heck is an ArcGIS Online? What does that mean? Unpack it for the layman.
Sure. ArcGIS Online is basically a software that used to be called Arc Information or Arc Map that has basically been taken off of just your regular typical hard drive on your computer and put into the cloud. Now it's accessible to everyone. You don't have to have a specific suite of software in order to access it. So it's sort of democratize the ability for people to make maps and access maps and information on maps.
And is there a common underlying database that it all pulls from? How similar is the underlying look and feel of the map that the Payette's using to what ITA is using?
Well, you know, I would think Pam has a better handle on how our maps are similar. I haven't spent a lot of time looking at the ITA map, but there's a lot, you can create so many different backgrounds with elevation, no elevation. I mean, you can get as creative as you want, and there's just so many different available data out there that you can create maps of anything, really, as long as the data is available. From most governmental agencies have publicly available data. A lot of municipalities have publicly available data. So the sky's the limit. It's just a matter of what it is you're specifically trying to create or look for.
It's kind of mind-boggling, really. But is there an overlay for huckleberries?
Not yet.
So Pam, what information source does the ITA map use for the underlying geographic information?
It is ArcGIS Online as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
It all comes from the common source.
Yep.
So I know Julie was kidding about huckleberries, but and we mentioned the obvious uses for, okay, we want to know if the trail's been cleared of logs and if there's any impediments to hiking traffic. But is it being used? Does it have potential to be used for monitoring other conditions, noxious weeds, how many people are recreating there, how much solitude to expect, whether there are campsites and what conditions they're in?
Absolutely, yes. There are a number of other products out there, not basically ArcGIS Online, but other similar things that are crowdsourced information specific to noxious weed data collection. So citizen science is occurring all over the West and back East with this app called Wild Spotter, which allows a person to basically take information on what they think is a noxious weed. And then when they hit the submit button, when they go back to a Wi-Fi area, it uploads to the cloud and it goes to a central repository and routes to a person in that geographical area. And then that person can verify or validate that data by looking at the picture they sent or overlay their existing noxious weed inventories. And if it's new, great, then they can go out and treat a new infestation, or if it can validate an existing population.
And there's also... Joshua, who is the they who comes out and takes care of the noxious weeds?
That's a great question. There are a number of different entities. The counties have noxious weeds programs, cities. I myself administer an noxious weeds program for my district as well. So we treat weeds in the wilderness and along roadways.
Great. So, you know, again, for now, I'm thinking of our listeners who are maybe a bit more tech savvy. They're going, well, that sounds sort of like the All Trails thing I've been using. And I know that's a popular app for a lot of people. How is this like All Trails? How is it different?
I'm not entirely sure.
That might be a Pam Bond question.
Yeah, sure. So All Trails is really is also great because people go on there and comment about their hiking experience. So I don't see why you couldn't use those in conjunction. I mean, the greatest thing about Google is you kind of have unlimited information if you know what you're looking for. So in a way, you know, the Trail Reporter is kind of like that, in that people can report. You're not going to get all of the stats like elevation gain and loss and like a profile or something, but you know, we could totally work on building some of those whistles in if that's what people are looking for.
Well, it is pretty cutting edge, and that's a nice segue into the, let's look down the road, down the trail. Where does it all go from here? What's the next step in the evolution of this? Joshua, maybe we'll start with you.
Sure, yeah. You know, like all things, iteration is what bears innovation, and the more we see these types of technologies deployed, there's going to be someone out there that says, you know, it would make a lot more sense if we took this and took this and took this and smashed it together and made something that is so mind-blowing, simple, yet technologically advanced. I can see this technology just becoming far more reliable with the advent of 5G systems. You guys, I think the public will also eventually be able to update these data as the visitors to the forests. It's just going to be a far more interactive situation where we see changes in real time, faster than what we're seeing today.
Pam, what's your crystal ball tell us?
Yeah, especially for the Trail Reporter, I would really like to actually create another report or a survey that different groups who are helping maintain trails can report on. So the idea would be like the Sawtooth Society knows that they're maintaining these trails this season. They could go in, fill out a survey, let us know, and then on the map, you know, I could have like a special symbol for something or something like that for that group, and they'll know, you know, when users are going out looking for information, they'll get information, you know, like what the PAD's doing on trail status and when it's being maintained.
Mm-hmm. Sort of a universal, more unified trail maintenance scheduler, because there certainly are conflicts or dates that tend to be the same from time to time when folks are out getting work done.
Right. Yeah. And even getting up, like, you know, obviously we maintain trails. I'd love to be able to put up some information about what we've maintained and when, pulling together that data would be really interesting.
Well, before we move on from maps to a couple other closing things, are there any final thoughts on this mapping application or mapping applications? Josh, maybe we'll start with you.
I think what's important, though, from my perspective, is when people use these products, that they do go out of their way to provide some feedback, because without critical feedback, we can't make the product do what we intended to do. It's been great. I've had tremendous positive feedback, but and very little critical feedback. I have received some critical feedback on the new Frank Church map, thankfully, and we definitely have some things to review come winter when we're no longer maintaining trails. But getting people to use it, putting out in front of people more and more, and just making people aware of it so they understand what it is that the Forest Service can do and does in partnership with all of its other user groups and stakeholders, and just, you know, having that reciprocal communication occur.
You know, the one thing I noticed when I was looking at it, and I'm drawing on a memory from a couple, 3 weeks ago, is that if it's there, it was not immediately evident, the line that represented the Idaho Centennial Trail. And maybe I just missed it, but as a long distance hiker, my eyes zoom in first on where are those long distance trails.
Yeah, definitely. That's the great kind of feedback that we'd like to hear. You know, like, what can we do to make this a better product? And, you know, highlighting something like the ICT is a great idea.
Thank you. Pam, again, we have a couple things besides the mapping, but before we close out the mapping, any final thoughts or things we forgot to cover that you want to touch on?
I'm so glad that these tools are available, and I hope that people realize that this is a tool to let their voice be heard. You know, I really hope that our group and other trail organizations, also the agencies like the Forest Service, can use the information that gets gathered here to kind of help them, you know, make their plans and their priorities for doing trail maintenance. There's so much ground out there. And, you know, as resources get tightened, a lot of our trails are starting to disappear. And it's the people who raise our voices and let us know what's going on the ground are the ones who help make change happen. So I just really hope that people will, you know, get involved. And it's a really small thing. Come back and submit a trail report.
That is a great reminder, and it's actually a really good segue. We want to talk a bit about, and you touched on, Pam, earlier, you and Julie, the Women's Only Weekend, but what other events and activities does Idaho Trails Association have coming up?
Yeah, so we have traditionally done in-person presentations, but we have since moved to the web. The Trailmaster series is now in a webinar format. September 9th, we're doing one on having to do with climate change around rivers and trails and wildfires. October 13th, we're having one about hiking with dogs. This is a co-op webinar with the Friends. And then the entire month of October, we're going to be using it as our 10-year anniversary celebration. ITA is in our 10-year, I can't believe it, and come so far. And we really wanted to have a big party of sorts, but obviously that can't happen because of COVID reasons. But we're in the midst of planning some really fun online events where we will do some kind of challenges with giveaways and some other awesome webinars. And then, of course, we still have several trail project opportunities available, especially in North Idaho. The Coeur d'Alene River project is the 28th and 30th, and then we have a couple of projects. So come out to our website and take a look and sign up for those projects.
Very good. And Joshua, of course, you're a bit different organization than the Idaho Trails Association, being U.S. Forest Service, but are there any interesting webinars or related events to trail mapping that we should be made aware of?
You know, nothing that I'm aware of at this point. I just strongly suggest folks to go out and hike a trail someday.
There you go. And well, we don't want to neglect mentioning how folks can reach both of your sites if they want to be able to provide input. So let's be sure to do that now. Joshua, how would listeners reach you if they need to, but the application, of course?
Sure. I can be reached at the Crassell Ranger District in McCall by calling 208-634-0616 or via email at joshua.simpson@usda.gov. The Payette National Forest website is a great place to go to find a link to both of my maps, the Payette specific map and then the Frank Church specific map. And then you can get to that website at www.fs.usda.gov/Payette.
Thank you.
And you scroll about halfway down and you'll see the two links.
And Pam, for folks who want to access the Trail Reporter and find out more about ITA.
Yeah, sure. So you can go out to our website, idahotrailsassociation.org. We are also on Facebook and Instagram. We have a YouTube channel. And on our YouTube channel, we do have recordings of our past webinars, including one along these lines called There's an App for That, that talks about a lot of GPS and mapping apps for your phone. So go check those out. And if you have any questions about this specifically, Pam at idahotrailsassociation.org.
Good. So we want to close with, I was going to say, tell us your favorite trail, but maybe there's a subcategory. Tell us the trail you'd really like people to hike on and then report back about.
Joshua, anything in the Frank Church.
I think Joshua would second that.
I would definitely second that. I do have a pretty sweet trail for folks to check out, though, and it is the South Fork of the Salmon River Trail. Totally unique. And just an outstanding visual feast.
And we worked good. That trail a couple years ago, so.
South, I'm taking good. Notes here, South Fork of the Salmon River.
Yes, I'm putting it in my notebook as a must do. Okay. Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you. Well, it's been great having you both on today. And I think that's gonna about wrap up our show, unless there's any concluding thoughts.
Just thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, definitely, appreciate it.
Well, very good. It's been so good hearing from you both, Joshua, originally Campbell, but now Joshua Simpson. He's changed his name during the interview. And Pam from the U.S. Forest Service in Payette Forest, and Pam Bond from Idaho Trails Association. This has been KRFY, Community Conversations, an abbreviated morning show for listeners who have been used to our live morning shows until COVID. We want to thank you for listening. Hope you've enjoyed learning about interactive trail mapping, and we'll be in touch and talking with you next week. Thank you.